If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need BILL. BILL Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With BILL, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using BILL to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how BILL can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to BILL Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your gracious host, Xavier, sitting here with the wonderful D. What's up, D?
What's up, Zay? Thank you for introducing me. It's going to be a great show.
And it's going to be a great show because we got a great guest. We got a great friend of ours. And this is our first guest live in the studio. And it had to be her. Like I said, we didn't see her story pretty much from like 2018. So I'm like, let's bring on the show. Her name is Ari Hill. You already know her. She's been on two episodes. She's the founder of Allergic to Hourly. She's a business coach, mindset coach, all that good stuff. So welcome to the show, Ari. What's up?
Hi, thank you for having me.
It was a no-brainer. But like, I like getting right to it. So for the people that's maybe their first time seeing you, hearing of you, like, who is Ari? Just give a little quick background on yourself.
I'm a business and mindset coach, and I mostly work with Black women who have an online service business and help them hit consistent five-figure months, get their business in order. My ultimate goal is to make millionaires. Like, that's my big, scary goal. Mm-hmm. So that's what really drives me.
When she says, she means it.
She means it.
All right, she does everything she says she's going to do. Yep. She's definitely a woman of her word. So if you don't work with her, you need to work with her.
No, seriously. So let's, allergic to hourly. And like I said, this was something I was talking to Dee about recently. Because like I said, we've known each other since like 2018, 2019. Mm-hmm. And like seeing your growth the past year, it's literally been insane. Like, it's been crazy. So I'm like, first, like, what was the inspiration behind it?
I was getting really booked out with one-on-one coaching. And so the whole reason why I quit my last business where I was doing like project management and launch management was because I was so busy all the time, like crazy hours. And I was making really good money, like really good profit margin, but it came at a sacrifice of spending time with my son and like having control of my time, right? So like I kind of figured out, all right, this is how you make money, but is the money worth like my son's memories of me always being behind my laptop or trying to like kind of push him away to go like go be like distracted so mom can work and stuff? And so, you know, I had to really like take a look at myself and say, is this the type of mom you want to be? So like there has to be a different way. So I left, you know, the old business and I started doing consulting and one-on-one coaching. Did the same thing, got super busy with the one-on-one, you know, all my time taken up. And I was like, damn, all right, I got to figure out something else. And I think I'm a big believer in like when you decide something, when you make the decision, everything conspires to make it happen. So I was like, I'm not doing one-on-one anymore. I don't know what's going to happen. And then my coach popped up, teach me how to put together a group coaching program. I went all in, like took some income hits to put it all together and launched it, and it took off.
It took off. But like, so my thing is, because this is something we recently stopped doing. We stopped doing one-on-one coaching calls too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to note because a lot of people, like when I tell people, I'm like, I'm not doing consultation calls no more. They be like, wow, like you can make this money. I'm like, it take up too much of my time. But what was it pretty much the same, like reason, that was the same reason behind yours?
Yeah. I just always had the mindset that like my time is worth let's say like $10,000 an hour minimum, right? Mm-hmm. I know in an hour I can some way somehow generate that amount of money or help somebody at least make that amount of money, right? Just in that hour. And so doing the consultation calls, like they were nice. I was helping people, but what I noticed and what bothered me was like there was no transformation. Like they were taking the information, but they weren't like doing anything with it. And that bothered me. Like, you're paying me money, I'm telling you what to do, but you're not doing it. And so I felt like there was something missing from consults, which led me to one-on-one coaching. And like, I love coaching. It's my favorite thing to do, you know, in the business. If I could just coach, you know, I would do that. But I didn't, the one-on-one was just draining me. You know, like I was talking 20, 30 hours a week of calls, you know, just taking everybody like, all right, I got you. And yeah, I just, I'm not doing this anymore. And I just had to have faith in it's going to work out. Like you always make something shake. You never quit. Something's going to come along and work out. And it did, it aligned and it worked and it was meant to be.
So something I want you to dive into, because in your earlier statement, you said you got a coach.
I was just about to say that.
Yep. And everybody knows Ari's the go-to coach.
Exactly. Coach got a coach.
Yeah, the coach got a coach. So can you break that down for us? Like, why did you have to take that route and why was it beneficial?
I've since a young age, I always knew like I was going to be rich. I never had a doubt about it. You know, like. My parents would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I would say, rich.
Like, that was my answer.
You know? And so I thought the way that it was going to happen, just because there wasn't any awareness, like this all wasn't really an option when I was young. You know, we didn't really have internet until what, like, for, and at least in our household, until like 1997, you know? And so I thought I was going to be like a CEO of a company or like a high level executive of a company, but I always knew I'm going to have money. I'm going to make money, like whatever it takes. And so with the group coaching program, it's something that I didn't have any experience in building, facilitating, like holding the container for that. And I'm really big on over delivering with people's money, right? You're going to pay me your hard earned money. I want you to have an amazing experience. Like, I want it to be something where you've never had this experience before, and it just raises the bar for what you know as, like, a course, a coaching program. And I did that with, like, my first course, right? Like, it was $20, and I did it that cheap, but I put what I knew, like, what a $3,000, $4,000 course was. And I made a low barrier to entry, and I had the same, you know, intention with Allergic to Hourly. I was like, I want it to blow them away. And so my coach just appeared. You know, I've had coaches before. This was my first business coach. But I've, like, clients I've worked with have always mentored me some way, somehow, with other jobs and things. Like, somehow I was able to work directly with, like, the business owner and have them mentor me and stuff. So I've always, you know, I've always, like, had that mentorship and guidance. But my business coach popped up, and she has like a multi-million dollar business. She's very ethical. She's prioritizes DEI. So our values aligned in that way. And I was like, I want to learn from her. She's like, all right, bet. $20K. $20K. And I was like, all right, I'll pay $20K for the year to learn how to make hundreds of thousands or to take this to a $1 million company.
Exactly.
Her results speak for themselves. And I did it. And within 2 months, I think I 5x my ROI once I launched.
Really?
I was like,
that's crazy. But
had I done it on my own though, like tried to figure it out, piece it together, I don't think I'd have this program and like be here talking to you about it. I would be overthinking, you know. There's just something different when you put that money in and you like, all right, I'm gonna listen to what you say. I'm gonna make sure I'm gonna do everything like you're telling me to do, and it paid off.
Wow. It's something that I think that's very important from that, because one of my friends, Eugene, he was on the show, shout out to Eugene, and he told me he paid $20,000. He's in real estate. He said he paid $20,000 for a year for a coaching too, and it took his stuff to a whole other level. Yeah. But the thing is, like, I think a lot of people, when they talk about spending, especially in a number, when you talk about five figures, maybe even up to six figures, a lot of people are like, man, I'm not spending. They just think from a expense mentality, like, right, this is going to be another expense. What am I going to gain from this? They don't see, like, where this could take you. You live in proof, like you just said, you probably wouldn't even be where you are in business today if you didn't hire a business coach.
I paid $20K and we collected $42,000 cash. And then once those payment plans paid out, I think it was like around $160,000 that we would have made from that one launch, right? So I would have been good the rest of the year had I not opened doors and kept enrolling people and stuff. And so I never think of it as like, what am I losing? It's an investment. Like, where, what other industry can you put 20K in and more than double it within 2 months? Like, the bank's not doing that.
It's going to take you 100 lifetimes for the bank to double your money.
And I think I'm fearless when it comes to like my investments. As far as like coaching, guidance, programs, it's always my highest expense, except for this year. Team was our highest expense this year, but coaching and education was our second highest expense. And this year already, we've spent like $55,000 in coaching, mentorship programs and stuff. And it's more than worth it all the time. Even if I learn one, if I learn just from the systems I learned and like being in that environment of seeing like how a multi-million dollar company works, my launch could have flopped and I still would have been happy, you know?
But you want to say something?
No, I was just going to say, like, everything you are saying just brings us back to the point that the highest performers invest in themselves and they invest in their coaching. And you are, like, living proof of that. Yeah. And I think it's so many, like, different ways that you can do that as far as education and finding, like, different alternatives to make yourself better. Because you were already really successful before Allergic to Hourly, but you still made that large investment to take it to the next level.
Always.
So definitely, like, commend you for doing that.
No, that's major.
Always, like, just do it.
So, like, you talk about systems, and this is something that, as long as I've known you, this is something that you've always talked about.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it for the people that's listening to this, and they might not know, like, what do you mean by, like, the systems that million-dollar companies have? You mind just, like, going into that for a second? The average business probably has no clue about?
Yeah, I feel like when you first get started in business, you're so worried about money and keeping that money. Yep. And a lot, like, I've made these mistakes where I was making money and spending it right away. And then my first year of business, I got hit with like a $20,000 tax bill. And I was like, oh, all that money isn't mine. You know? So just, you know, getting hit with that and then realizing like all this money isn't my money. Like, it goes to other things first and then me.
Yep.
And I think another mindset when you're first starting is you want to, like, it's really like scarcity mindset, right? Like, I want to do everything so I can keep as much money as possible. And I think that's the wrong way to look at it. Like, I would have hired, looking back now, like, I'm 7 years in business. So looking back now, I should have hired way sooner. Even now with this program, I still get like a little greedy with it. Should have hired way sooner, stretched myself way more. You know, even now, still my goals are safe. You know, I'm not very risky when it comes to making decisions. Like, a lot, I want to know this is going to be good, you know, at least on my part in doing what I need to do. And, you know, but as far as the systems, I just happen to be systems minded, but I was always curious and always like to learn. So, you know, the whole way I got into tech and systems was I was impatient for the developers, right? Mm. So I was like, I'm going to log in, figure this email campaign shit out, and I'm going to get it done in 2 days instead of waiting a week and a half. We don't have time for that. And I was never scared to break anything because it can always be fixed, right? And so now with the business, like, and I'm lazy. I don't like doing repetitive stuff. Maybe it's like my ADHD, but like, I like to find the problem, fix it, hand it off. So I made myself learn automation and these different tools, and then anything that can't be automated, I trust my team and my people to just handle it, you know? Mm.
So let's talk about that a little more. Like, what are some different ways someone could automate their business to be more efficient and effective with their time management?
I think that, like, what annoys me is when people don't have a scheduling link to book a call. So, like, you're going to invite me to your shit and we're going to go back and forth figuring out a time. Like, no, you're never going to get me to show up and participate. I don't have time to go back and forth with you. Yeah. But, you know, it can be as simple as, like, a Calendly link, right, where, you know, send me the link. I'll find a time that works for me. If not, I'll let you know what my times are. But that right there just makes it so much easier. You can automate, like, the reminders, email, text reminders, send, like, a follow-up thank you email automatically.
Yep.
And all you did was send a link, show up, you know, for your call, and then that's it. What else do we automate? We automate, like, our onboarding for the program. So once somebody purchases through our order form, they get their welcome emails, access, a check-in text, a welcome. That all happens automatically. All right. I don't have to do anything once somebody, you know, pays for the program. And even though it's automated, we keep a human element. There's always somebody human there to, like, reply to, you know, anything they send in. But I think they really appreciate us, like, you know, we have a text that goes out 45 minutes after they enroll, like, hey, did you get your email? Do you have access? If you need anything, you know, reply to this text, and we'll get back to you within the next business day.
Mm. Damn, that's amazing. Like I said, to see all the things you've done these past, specifically this past year, has been crazy. But something that I really like that you said is, like, with the calendar. You said it, the links. So, like, this is something, this conversation we had recently, because a lot of times creatives or business people, they'll reach out to you and you'll be like, hey, I want to schedule this and that. And they'll say, what time works for you? And, like, I feel like that's the worst thing I think you could say to somebody, specifically somebody that's busy, because it's like, no time works best for me. Just tell me. So for the people that's listening to this, if you want to connect with somebody, just tell them, like, are you free this day, this time? Just give them a date. And they'll be like, yes or no. Don't say what time works for you, because I was like, shit, I don't know. It's open. I don't know. I'm always doing something. So I might not reply fast enough for you. So that's definitely, I like that you said that. But moving on, I want to talk about, because I know I seen you on Twitter talking about this recently as well, hitting that 1 million. Deanna, you hilarious. hitting that 1 million goal for what was that, for a year?
This year. So I'm pretty, like, I'm a bit stoic in the sense of, like, I don't care if we hit a million this year. Like, okay, it would be cool. It would be great. I'd be really happy about it. But if it doesn't happen this year, I'm not going to beat myself up about it. Like, grossing a million or not grossing a million doesn't mean anything about me, my talent, my passion, anything like that. For me, it's more so, you know, in this journey and, like, proclaiming that, like, I want a multi-million or billion-dollar business, whatever the case may be. Like, it's the first time where I've said it and I can actually see it happening. And so it's a little bit of a trip to sit here and decide, do we want to put the effort and money behind hitting a million this year, or do we want to chill and what happens, happens, you know?
Right.
But, you know, it's a big milestone. I think I'm the first in my family, probably for generations, to have a $1 million business. I'm the first in my family to have trademarks and, like, intellectual property in that sense. And so it's, you know, it's a little bit of a trip to, so, you know, to have those things. And I've always hoped that, like, I would be the person that would, like, change the trajectory of my family and, like, help them not even really build up a name, but just be solid and okay, you know, at least future generations. Or, like, I think about my parents or, like, my boyfriend's parents and stuff. And when they get older, our culture is like, I don't want to put them in a home. They're staying with us. We're like, what are you talking about? You know? And I want to be able to be more than comfortable when that happens and make sure that, like, my parents, his parents are taken care of, our kids, if anything were to happen. You know, it's like, those are really the things that drive me in addition to my team. And so, you know, I feel like on social media, like, we all get, like, a lot of hate for, like, not being decked out and, like, brand names and shit like that. But where I put my, and, like, I have no judgment against that. I don't care what people wear, what you do with your money. That's your business, you know. But for me, my flex is my team, you know.
Like, that's a bar.
My flex is my team. My core team is all Black women. And it's not just, like, light skin, you know, Black women or mixed Black women, you know. We're very diverse in that sense. We're small but mighty. But, like, our minimum hourly rate is $25 an hour. And, like, that's what I'm proud of. That's my flex, you know, and it's a safe environment for them to work at. If someone's not feeling good, I tell them, log off. We got you. You know, log off. We got you. We'll pick up the slack for the day. Take care of yourself. You know, so for me, that's what I'm proud of. That's my flex. And, you know, all the other shit, it's like, 'cause I don't know, maybe this is weird, but I feel like once you can, like, afford all those things you dreamed of, you kind of don't want it anymore, because you can see, like, the different ways, like, your money has an impact and stuff. And so,
that's a fact. You know,
I'd feel like an asshole sitting here decked out in, like, designer, and, like, I'm paying my team, like, crumbs.
Yeah, that's
that doesn't sit right with me.
No, But you're exactly right. Like, once you come up, especially when you broke, I know me, when I was broke, I used to think of all these things I wanted. Like, I want to get this car, this, this, this. And then when you get the money to actually afford it, it's like you don't get these things.
Yeah.
It's like that need. But I think it ties down to, like, all the growth and character building during that process where you feel like before you get that stuff, you feel like, I need this to feel like somebody.
Right.
You feel like you need that stuff. Yeah. And then when you do all the character building to get to that point, you know you don't need that stuff no more. Like, to have it, okay, it's cool, but I know I don't need it. I know who I am with or without me having this on.
And I also think about, like, investing it. Like, all right, I can, like, blow, you know, a bag on whatever it is, a nice car or a big-ass house or whatever. But when I think about, like, reinvesting it, I'm willing to wait and chill and, like, put it all back into the business, wait a couple years and, like, really ball out and still be able to do what I want to do and have my, you know, dope team and company and have a couple toys and stuff. But, you know, like you said, like, none of that shit means anything to me at the end of the day. Like, it doesn't make me who I am. You know, I'm solid with or without that stuff.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, something I wanted you to touch on, because I don't think a lot of entrepreneurs really realize this, but being the CEO of a company, it comes with a shift in mindset. Like, it's no longer just you. Like, you really, like, how you've been talking about your team throughout this entire conversation, that's what it's all about. Like, your team is the driving force of the success of your business. You have the vision, but they put in the work. So for you, like, where did the mindset shift happen for you, and what has been, like, some of the biggest challenges, like, leading your team through all of this?
You know, my team's awesome. Like, I've been blessed where we don't have too many challenges. Like, they really see my vision and buy into it and want to support it. And they're all entrepreneurial. They do, like, their side stuff. You know, I'm never going to get in the way of anyone's bag when it comes to that.
That's right.
You know, I give them referrals, you know, to people, like, sure, you know, like, as long as our stuff is done and done on time, I don't care when you log in. I don't want to know. You don't have to give me updates. Like, I want our clients happy, and whatever you agree to do, just do it when you say you'll do it, and it's cool. If I have to step in and check on shit, that's when I'm annoyed, right? Not that I didn't hear from you. It's, why is this late? Why isn't this done? But I realized, like, I had to prioritize hiring when I was dropping the ball with clients. You know, like, I wasn't missing things that were due, but I was cutting it close. And I always like to be ahead of the curve and, like, over deliver. And, like, if I say I'm going to do it in 7 days, we really send it to you in 4 days.
4 days, right.
So I saw myself cutting it close. And then also for the third time, falling back into working all those hours, working all the time. And I just, like I said, I'm not available to do that anymore. I said I value family. My priority is family, my son. So I need to hire. We have the money to hire. It's worth it. You know, just being able to step away and go play video games with my kid. If he's not feeling well or he needs me, you know, I would cut my salary to $2,000 a month to, you know, be able to keep that and have that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But mindset, this, you know, this is the million of mindset. We talk about mindset all the time, and you being a mindset coach. So what's some of the things that people that start business, like, when it comes to mindset, what they're lacking or something that they may not understand? What you think that with most entrepreneurs or business people?
The biggest thing I see is, like, I'm an imposter. Imposter syndrome
is a mother.
Yeah.
Man.
And so I, you know, this isn't something I came up with. I forgot the name of the book, but the author is Denise Duffield Thomas. And basically in the book, in, like, one of the first chapters, she's like, who asked you to be an expert? Right? Like, who asked you to be an expert and to know everything? You know, think of yourself as a contributor to the conversation. Add your experience, add your ideas to the conversation, but no one's asking you to be an expert. And so an exercise I have some of our clients do is, like, okay, you think you need to be an expert? Make a list of what an expert is, right? In your industry or in your role, what you do. So they'll make that list, and I go, okay, now think about all the clients who you've worked with and those sales calls you've had, or, like, putting contracts together. Did they ask for any of these things that's on that list? No. Mm. So why are you worried about being an expert? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, our program is mostly Black women. And so a big thing I notice is pricing. They're very scared to charge what their value is. And so, you know, there's a lot of coaching in that regard. Like, there's no question about your value or your worthiness when it comes to pricing. And I think being able to kind of like open the curtain for them and let them see, like, look, your competition who's mediocre is charging five times what you're charging, and their clients pay it without blinking before work even starts. You know, they pay it right away. And so knowing that, and then again, we have like another exercise with the pricing calculator, and it basically shows them, if you don't charge this much, you're actually coming out of pocket to help your clients get results or have a transformation.
Damn.
So like, you know, this isn't like, I see this all the time, like the church asked for 10% and you're not even asking for that, you know? So at least pay yourself to cover, you know, your business expenses and your lifestyle expenses, or else what? You have a job to make your clients successful? Like, that's not how business works. And your right clients don't want that for you. They want you to succeed and to grow and to blossom and to really like live your best life. So when you come to work with them, you have good energy and you're not, you know, ghosting or fucking shit up, you know? So it takes work, but once they get it, and then they stand very solid in it. Yeah.
And on that note, cause something you mentioned that you did in the beginning was you offered your clients a low barrier to entry to get access to your stuff, and then you over-deliver. Do you recommend entrepreneurs or service-based businesses take that route of cutting themselves short in the beginning and then raising their rates?
You know, it's effective. I think I did that because I had to prove myself to my audience. You know, I was giving like a lot of free game on Twitter. I did a bunch of free consult calls, then the paid consults, but I'd never done a course before. And so I was confident in my ability and my experience to say, like, come check me out. You know, see what I'm about, see what I'm doing, you know, let's see, you know, if it's worth it. And, you know, everybody says like, it's too low, raise the price, blah, 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 whatever. But it wasn't a money grab for me. It was more so like an authority and expert play, you know, like, and I only put a price behind it because I wanted to make back what I put into it. But I also, I wanted them to take action with it and take it seriously, you know? And then what happened, what I didn't even realize, what I discounted my audience was, on our first launch, 30% of people who bought, and we went like to a 4 to 5 figure price point, 30% of people who bought that $20 course and program. So I was like, oh, that wasn't any indication of what people are willing to spend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, that's what helped me decide, like, no more freebies. You know, I'll do, like, lower ticket stuff, but I want that more serious audience who's going to take the steps and take the action and then have a really great experience, get their results, and then move to the next level with me if that's what they want to do.
I was going to say, I think in my opinion, I think a lot of this stuff boils down to confidence. Because something I've analyzed, kind of studied, and experienced is within business, and some people may disagree with this, I think arrogance wins in business. Like, I feel like you see the people that's most arrogant, and I'll say arrogant, I don't mean treating people like shit. I just mean the people that's fully confident in what they service is, whatever their business is, and they move that way. They always win. And when you kind of, your confidence is shaky, you kind of unsure, people can read it, they see it, and they like, oh, I don't really know if I'm gonna fuck with this right here. He don't seem like he, but the people that's like, no, this is what it is, I'm charging this, I know my shit. They win. And when it comes to business, they win all the time, especially if they stay consistent. So I think a lot of people, they just got to get more confident. But I think confidence comes from knowing your shit, first of all. Whatever you're doing, kind of like knowing that. What you think?
I think that plays a part in it. But like, even from a young age, like, you couldn't tell me anything about me that I didn't believe about myself already. Yeah. And like, even now in business, say whatever you want to say about me, but you can't talk about like my business skill, my acumen, how I run my business. Like, you can say what you want, but it's not going to shake me in any way, shape, or form. I know I can have a conversation with anyone who has a business and help them with whatever, at least if it's ideas. And then also, I've never been thirsty for anyone's money. Like, you annoy me the slightest. Take your money back, please. Like, please take your money back. I don't care what the price point is. Like, you're not fucking up my energy and our flow and our group and stuff. You know, it's nothing personal against you. It's just not a match. It's not aligned. But you're not going to disturb my peace. I don't care how much money you think you paid me. None of it's ever worth it. But, you know, I do agree with you. You can't tell me anything about me when it comes to business or anything that I've put, you know, the time, effort, experience, and investment in. I know I know I'm the shit when it comes to this, and if it bothers people, that's for you to deal with. That has nothing to do with me.
No, that's a bar. How you talked about not being thirsty for money. Yeah. You can never be thirsty for money. Like, I think when you're thirsty for it, I think the more thirst you have for it, the more you push it away. Mm-hmm. Like, you just have to move in your purpose, and the money will naturally come, I believe. Move in your purpose with intention, and the money will come, especially if you're in a business, service-based business. You ain't got to worry about money if you're in your purpose with attention and consistent. Yeah. But the more you're like, I need money, you ain't going to never get the shit.
That's how you attract, like, those clients who are needy or a pain in the ass or difficult to deal with.
For real.
I'm big on energy, you know, but if you're convicted in, like, what you say you're going to do, the how doesn't matter. And I feel like a lot of people get stuck on the how. You don't even have enough experience to figure out the how, right? So if you just trust, like, with hitting a million, I know we're going to hit a million this year, next year, whatever, it doesn't matter, right? But I know we're going to do a million. You can't tell me anything. I don't care what the statistics say. It doesn't exist for me, right? Like, I've got blinders on, we're going to do at least a million in a year and keep growing from there. And so I think with having that energy, that confidence, that belief, like, it's going to happen regardless, it's going to happen. Things are going to fall in line to happen. I made the decision. I believe in it. And I've done enough of, like, the mindset work to not even allow the thoughts, you know, those thoughts that come in to, like, talk you out of your game or talk you out of what you want. Like, I'm at the point where, like, it doesn't even happen anymore. I know we're going to hit it. When it happens, it happens. I'm detached, you know, from when it happens.
And you also doing the work. Like, there's no delusion based in it. Because there might be somebody that see this and be like, okay, maybe I just need to be confident and say, I'm going to make $1 million. I'm going to make $1 million. And sit their ass at home all day. Where it's like, you out here doing the work. So you going to hit it. So it's like, you got to do the work, too. Don't just... Because a lot of people, when you talk about laws of attraction and stuff like that, it's like, just law of attraction, I need to meditate, I need to feel good, I need to do this, I need to not go well, I need to not drink, I need to not party, but they're not doing no goddamn work.
You know, I don't think law of attraction is about limiting things either.
Right.
You know, people think you have to, like, lock yourself in a room for 26, I don't know, they're not 26 hours in a day, but you know what I mean.
It's the one.
But, you know, I think what people miss when it comes to, like, law of attraction, manifesting, or just getting what you want, it's, you don't prioritize the hard work and burn yourself out. What I've learned is you prioritize, like, your self-care, your happiness, your energy, and that's what makes the work easier to do when it's come to sit your ass down and get what you need to done, what you need to get done. Mm-hmm. And so I think people take out all these things that they enjoy, and then they burn themselves out, they're miserable, they get anxious, depressed, and again, those aren't the roots of, like, depression and anxiety, right. But it can add to that, you know? And so when my clients are, like, stuck with content or they're not, you know, I'm not getting enough clients, things like that, I'm like, when's the last time you had fun? When's the last time you laughed, right? And they don't have an answer. And I'm like, yeah, you're stuck with copy because you don't have anything to write about. You're not living your life. You're sitting here behind the computer doing everything for everyone else and... you're not doing anything for yourself. So, yeah, like, I would be pissed off all the time and blocked, too. And I think what people underestimate is that it's pretty easy to win and have success because your competition really sucks at, like, core basic things, you know, whether it's, like, just replying to emails in a timely manner or doing what you said you're going to do when you're going to do it or... hey, I fucked something up or I'm late, but I'm telling you within enough time so we can course correct and fix it. I don't think mistakes are the problem. I think it's when mistakes are communicated that's the problem. Because, like, you would have told me this 2 weeks ago. We could have figured it out and, like, it would have been fine, but you waited till it's due. And now I'm like, you know, I had shit relying on that. So, you know, like, I think you can be mediocre and have great customer service and integrity and make a killing. Make a killing. Like, it's not really about your talent, your passion, you're better than somebody else when it comes to this skill. It's how do you make your clients feel? Can they trust that if I give it to Ari, I know it's taken care of. You know, when people sign up for my shit, they know she's going to show up when she says she's going to show up. She's going to do everything. She sold us, you know? That goes way longer than, like, I'm not the best coach in the world. I don't know everything about mindset. I don't know everything about business. But, you know, that experience that they get and being able to rely on me goes way further than anything I could coach them on.
But something else that I really like that you said is what and something I noticed too. A lot of them people deprive themselves of having fun because it's like you read books and it's like you don't need to do this. You just lock yourself in a room when it's like the reality of it could be what's fun to you might be the inspiration for you. Because I know me personally, right? I might have moments where I'm locked in doing what I'm doing, but it's like, all right, I need some inspiration. And I know what inspires me is being out and seeing certain shit.
Being
I'm outside. I'm seeing somebody. I'm seeing somebody in a Rolls Royce, Ferrari, and I like dressing nice. Me and some new, you know what I'm saying? Some new shoes, some new shirt. I'm like that inspires me to do more now. Going on vacation, having a dope ass vacation. You know what I'm saying? That's so. People, what I'm saying is, people that's like, I need to stay in the crib. It's like, go out, see different things, because you can't. It's hard to get inspiration when you locked in the crib all day and just not doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely think there's like a time and place where it's important to lock down and lock yourself in the room. Like if you're wild and out and just like going downhill and spiraling, then
you need to sit your ass down.
Yeah, you know, sit down and take that 6 months and just even the intention and like the small action of improving yourself is impactful and has, you know, is exponential in your growth. Or just saying like, you know what, instead of partying every day, maybe I'll go out like once or twice a week, you know, and then that other time, you know, I'll learn something new. You can't lose when you're, you know, improving your education and experience or just having curiosity to learn new things. Like on Twitter, I see people talking about things all the time and I just Google like, what is this? You know, and if I'm interested, I'll pursue it. I'll get more books or, you know, check out some stuff about it. And if not, you know, it's not for me. That doesn't mean it's useless to me. It's I may know somebody who might be interested about that. Oh, I saw this person talking about it. I don't know what they do, but, you know, go check them out. That could be a starting point. And so, you know, I think your only failure really is not trying, you know, talking yourself out of doing something before even trying it or saying like, I feel like at the point where if I know everything, I feel like I know everything about business and coaching, that's when I need to quit. Because that's where there's no more growth. That's where I'm not coachable anymore. That's where I'm going to start really fucking up and getting ahead of myself. You know, but I feel like as long as you're curious to learn, improve, and grow, you're like, how can you lose? You know, how can you lose?
You can't.
And I think, you know, at the end of the day, like, when it comes to being an entrepreneur and a business owner, there's no one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's experiences are going to be unique to whatever type of business that they have. And I think people need to quit focusing on trying to be the stereotypical entrepreneur, like, doing everything they see these self-help gurus telling them to do and being by the book. But that's what I love about your brand so much is that you are very authentic and you're very transparent about what it looks for you to be a woman, a mother, and a business owner. But I do want you to dive into this whole rebrand that you've had over the last few months. But before we go into that, I'm going to bring up our first sponsor for the show.
Wow.
Yes.
Great job.
Which is going to be the Keys to Podcasting course. So if you guys don't know, if you haven't heard yet, me and Xavier are launching the Keys to Podcasting course, which is pretty much your guide on how to launch a successful podcast. It goes over the fundamentals of podcasting, how to find your niche, building a loyal audience base, marketing strategies, interview tactics, and so much more. And
how to make money.
How to make money podcasting, of course. It's so people much more. That. And right now it is on pre-sale for $249.99.
Yep.
It's going to officially launch on August 1st. And at that point, the price is going up to $399.99. So get it right now while it's on pre-sale. So definitely make sure you guys check it out. It's going to be at www.thekeystopodcasting.com. Yeah.
And this is something that, you know, that's something I never really wanted to release because I wanted to keep these secrets and tips to myself. Yeah. To be brutally honest, people be asking me, I'd be like, oh, this shit I did from experience. I don't want to tell people everything, but fuck it, I'm going to do it. I mean, I ain't worried about nothing, so we're going to do it. Why not?
We are who we are.
But so getting back to Ari for a second. So you want to say something first?
Question.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, the rebrand, Miss.
What
Lady.
Do you want to know?
No, that's been A1.
No, it's been A1. Amazing. Yeah. Like from the new content, the pictures, that's the way you're doing everything. Can you just dive into pretty much like what that's all, how it's all came about, the new website, all of that?
Yeah. I think I just, and again, like I said, this is my seventh year of business, you know? And so I just feel like I finally found my flow and where I feel like good and happy and aligned. And once I got that feeling, like everything started falling into place, like my program taking off, meeting my boyfriend, you know, just everything just started to work and make sense. And I think it was really me being in the energy of like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to triple down on. If I put all my money into it and lose it all, I'm okay with that because this, you know, this was it for me. This was the thing I really wanted to do. And so making that decision and finding like, this is my thing. This is it. This is where like I finally found like that thing I'm passionate about. It was a no-brainer to just really take it seriously and start investing, you know, in the brand and the look and everything. Do I think those things like make me a better coach and make my program better? My new website, no. You know, no. I think at a certain point, like it makes sense to do those things, but I don't think it's the thing that like, you know, I had a shitty application page when I launched and barely any like emails, nothing we have set up now. You know, I think it's just the intent and the energy behind it. But, you know, the rebrand is from, if I'm going to take this to multiple millions, then I need to look like a company that's right. Multiple millions. You know, I need to stop playing solo freelancer and play CEO now. I don't know what that looks like, but shit. I'm a CEO and this is how I'm going to do it. I don't care how anybody else does it. This is how I'm going to do it. And I think it speaks to, I don't know, I think it makes my clients feel more comfortable seeing like, oh, she invests in her business. You know, she invests, like I delivered all the curriculum for the program and I paid somebody almost $20,000 to redo it in my other program. You know, like a curriculum designer, this is how people learn. These are the three different learning styles. You know, this is how to set it up for people with ADHD, all these things. And so, you know, I want to make it way more accessible and put it, restructure it in a way where it's easier to get results for people. Because I delivered it in the way that I learn and I like to, you know, consume content and trainings. But I'm leaving out a whole bunch of other people who just don't think that way or process information that way. And so, you know, I think it was just time to get serious about my goals and what I said I was going to do. It felt right, you know. Any investment I made, I wasn't scared to do it. I was like, no, I feel solid. I feel right. If it doesn't work out, I'm okay with that. But this feels like the right step.
Well, it looks amazing.
It looks amazing. You could tell. But you could tell just from the outside looking in, you could tell you've pretty hit a real good groove. And you found your, like, that balance. You could just tell from the outside looking in. Like, I can see it. Yeah.
I feel like I've changed a lot, like, in the last year or so. You know, I feel completely different, just, like, on a whole different vibe. But, again, like, I'm really happy and things just fell into place, you know? Like, everything is working right now. And, like, I always want to stay in that energy of, like, it can be this simple, this easy. It can flow this well. And I'm human. You know, I regress back to, like, what if it all falls apart? Right. What if everybody leaves the program and I can't pay my team, you know? But I think the important thing is not staying in those thoughts and also having people around you to help get you out of that and be like, you're insane right now. Like, they love it. They're here for you. They love the program. Like, it's only going to get bigger and better. You know, it's really important to have, like, that support system for those moments you're tripping.
Because that's something we do. Like, we hype each other up all the time. Like, before we come to record, like, you know, we're giving each other praise. Like, man, you about to do great today. You about to do this. Like, I see you, like, with the outfit. But that stuff goes a long way in, like, boosting your confidence really, like, helping you release all those doubts. Like, because we, like you said, we're human. We all get afraid sometimes. We all have doubts, especially when we're doing something we don't see people in our family, the average person doing. Right. So with that, it definitely is heavy. It's a lot to have on your shoulders. Yeah. It's a lot of pressure. So
you trailblazing.
Yeah, you are. So I'm definitely glad you found a way in some shape or form to manage it.
Yeah, and no blueprint. So that's the craziest part about all this. Because, I mean, obviously you got other people that you could see online that's maybe doing something similar. But it's different when it's like, when somebody that might have been raised in it or they know somebody firsthand, it's like they really have a blueprint they can follow. But everything else, when you knew, you're doing this off experience, trial and error. Mm-hmm. A lot of shit don't work oftentimes.
You're going to lose money like it's a given. Yep. But for every dollar you lose, I feel like you're going to get 3-4 times back because What I feel what's more valuable to me than like doing well and something working is fucking up something.
Or something flopping.
Yeah. I learn way more from that. That's way more useful to me than when things just like, oh, everything's working. If everything's working, that's my sign, like I'm playing it too safe.
Yep.
I'm playing it too safe. I know it's gonna work. So with our virtual conference, you know, I made like safe goals and we blew past them. We had 6 different percentages for enrollment. We blew past all 6. So I'm like, damn, should have shot higher, but this could have been so much bigger. I could have spent more and it would have worked well. But it's, you know, it's really like getting over your own shit and being okay to go there and being okay with if this doesn't work, it's cool. It's fine.
It's and
good.
What's
let's get into the conference.
Right, right. Because like, you're talking about blowing past your expectations. When I caught on to it and I found out about it, I told you, I said, "Oh yeah,
this is about to
be crazy." Just because I seen everything you was doing, and I seen the website, and I seen the funnels that you had set up, I said, "This is fucking brilliant." Mm-hmm. I told Deanna, I'm like, "This is me." We said the same thing. Like, "This is brilliant." Yeah. So like, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, it was just so strategically put together. Yeah. It's just down from the guest list. Like, of course, these are people you've coached and you've helped get to where they've gone to, and now here they are talking about their experiences, just providing game and vouching on behalf of Allergics to Ireland. And now you're funneling people. I was just like, "This is amazing." Like,
yeah, I was like. This I'll gave you a applause. I was applauding. I was like, "Man, you weren't even there to see it," but I was like, "This is amazing right here for real." So like, how you put that together? What was the what was the mindset behind it?
My coach. It was part of her program, and like I was against conferences and summits because my experience with them is. It's always one type of person, right? It's very cookie cutter. The panel is like always like white. Right? Like, it is what it is. And so, I want to learn from those people, but it's different when you can, like, relate to the people who are up there. Like, I've never been able to, like, get a big enough tax return or have a high enough credit card when I was getting started. Right. No, that was never my reality. It's, I could pay for internet and my laptop, and then everything else has to be free to make this work and to make it shake. And so, I was really against the virtual conference, but also, I was like, you paid $20,000 to be here. You need to use what you paid for. At least try it. If it's not for you, cool, you know, but how could you pay for this and not try it? You know, it's working for her, it's working for other people. Just try it and make it fun for yourself.
Right.
So she gave us like the whole system. You know, I've been to her virtual conferences. I see how she put everything together. And I think the value in coaches is that you get to see what they did and like the money they put behind it. Right, and like how they set everything up, you get to learn from their mistakes and everything. So I was already 10 steps ahead of the game because here's the best way to do this from our experience. And so for me, it was so easy to put together. It was an easy launch. Again, everything just flowed and aligned, and it wasn't stressful or pushing against anything. And my intent with it was like, great, it's cool if we enroll people. I know our break-even number, you know, we have our goals and stuff. But what I really wanted was I wanted somewhere for Black women to come and like feel seen. They can be themselves, no code switching. And whether they apply or enroll, whatever, they at least walk away with action steps, breakthroughs, and just having like a good ass time at that virtual conference. And so I think we accomplished that, you know. we got people to enroll and stuff, but you know, the goal was just like I just want to show them like a really good time and just give them, you know, give Black women something for Black women, you know, where like it's safe here, you can relate, you see yourself up there, and you know, just have a good time.
People I've seen talk about it. They talked about it, they had a great time.
Yeah.
So, no, salute to you. That was, like I said, when I seen the play from afar, I'm like, man, this already doing a damn thing.
But something I wanted to ask you, because just from everything you've been talking about and all the game you've given out over the years to us, to your audience, like, you've never been afraid to share information. And that's what I love about you the most. Like, you put it out there, you let people do what they do with it, and then you just go with the flow. So, what's the mentality behind that for you? Because there's a lot of people like who would never share half the stuff you talk about, just having that scarcity mindset of wanting to keep it all for themselves.
You know, I think my ultimate goal is like I want to see Black people win, you know? So like, I don't mind sharing with you what works, what I've seen work. What makes me happy is like, if I have a conversation with you, you walk away with at least you're aware of something new, or like I helped you solve a problem or get you unstuck. Like, that's why I do it. Like, I've never asked anybody for anything in return. I started charging for consults and coaching just because, like, all right, shit, I got bills too, you know? Mm-hmm. But outside of that, like, you know, we don't really ask for testimonials unless it's like long form for the sales page, right? But, you know, everything you see on social media, like, we don't ask for that stuff. It's just, you know, from our clients and like the experience that they're having. And, you know, I firmly believe, like, you can't take away what's meant for me. You know, I don't care who you are. You can't take away what's meant for me. So with that in mind, why wouldn't I tell you everything you need to know, you know, to be successful or to, like, take that next step or to get unstuck, you know? It's not taking anything away from me. It's not going to hurt me. I want you to do better than me, you know? Like, that just makes our whole little network and crew, you know, more successful and stuff. And when I was getting started, like, I wish there were people talking more about things and stop being so secretive. I couldn't afford, like, you know, the $50,000 masterminds, you know, and stuff like that. Yeah. I couldn't get into those rooms. Or when I would go with clients into those rooms, you know, it's especially being a woman, right? Yeah. Being a woman, being smart, being curvy, you know, there's like a certain type of attention that comes with that. And people don't take you seriously or they get disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I wasn't comfortable in those environments. Like, it wasn't for me, you know, it wasn't a safe environment for me. And so, you know, I just put out there what I wish I would have had. You know, I wish someone would just been like, look, this is how you do it. This is what's going on, you know, try it. Like, these were my steps. My steps probably won't work for you, but you at least have something to go off of. And if you're willing to experiment, fuck up a little bit, lose a little money, but if you keep going, it's going to work out if you trust that it's going to work out for you.
Oh, that's game. And having fuck ups, that's just part of the game. And me personally, I don't learn until I fuck up. Like, the ball could be rolling great. I'm hard headed. I need my ass need to hit the ground, face hard, and then be like, damn, okay, now I know what it is. Mm-hmm. It sucks that it has to be that way, but like a lot of times I can't see from other people's mistakes. That's why I feel like I got to where I am today just from watching older siblings, older family members, mistakes they made is going a different route. But when you the first out doing something specifically on your own, I need to experience it myself for me to be like, okay,
yeah,
all right, I know what it is now. This is what I need to do. We're going to make a reroute, all this kind of shit.
Yeah. I mean, on my biological father's side, there's generations of alcoholics. And so my dad's kids, us, we're the first generation to not have alcoholics, at least not yet, you know. I don't know. You know, there's no alcoholics currently amongst like the siblings from my dad. And then I hate saying stepdad, right? But you know, other dad, he raised me and he was the one to break, you know, that stuff. And his dad lost everything in the crack era. Like, his whole family was entrepreneurial. They had trucking companies. His dad was an optometrist and had a really successful business. Crack epidemic happened, and he literally, like, I think it was his grandfather had 13 kids total. They all 13 kids fucked off the dad's trucking company. They lost land, property, like, decimated and affected my dad, where my dad, like, grew up really poor. Single mom, because his dad was out in the streets, running around, high, drunk, you know, lost everything. And so that really changed, you know, the trajectory for my dad. You know, it inspired him to, you know, become a Marine and, you know, go to college and really make the best for himself. And then luckily, you know, my mom married him and I got, because things could have been way different for me. You know, my mom is an immigrant. She's from Brazil and she came here at a young age. She got pregnant at 18. So like, according to the stats, I should have 3 kids right now, be under, you know, living under the poverty line,
right?
You know, struggling and having it really hard and difficult. And, you know, between both of my parents, like, you know, they're amazing as far as like their work ethic and the values they instilled in us, the discipline, you know, a Latin mom and a Marine dad, like, you know, they're like, I'm not getting away with shit. But, you know, just seeing how hard they worked and what they put into everything and being there for us as much as they could, you know, it's like it's inspiring to see that. Like, they had it way more difficult than I do. You know, they didn't have internet back at that time. And I feel like the internet's helped been like a made the playing field a little bit more even. You know, it's a little bit easier for us to like step in and shake things up and have impact.
We have it so much. That's I'm glad you said that, because I hate when people in our in this day and age complain about the hard times they have as a business person, entrepreneur. I'm like, man, we got technology has advanced so much. Well, I could sit at home all day if I wanted to, do what I need to do, make a couple posts, and make some fucking money. Like, my grandparents couldn't do that. My granddad, he worked like in a factory his whole life. And by the time he passed, he had a lot of money. But the amount of money that he probably made in a month, I could make in a couple days if I just do the right things with social media. That's why I'm like, yo, y'all got to take advantage of the opportunities we have. We have an abundance of opportunities.
Yeah. And, you know, I think when you say that, I think what people get wrong is like when we say things like that, it's not to say like ignore very real things systemic oppression and racism and stuff. And like, obviously, me being mixed race, I have my own privilege, you know, with all that stuff. And so, you know, but when I think about myself, I'll just speak for myself. I know the stats, I know what I'm up against. And so when I look myself in the mirror, it's, what are you going to do about it?
What are you going
to
do about it?
Are you going to, you know, succumb to that? Or are you going to do everything you can to get out of that? And it sucks and it's unfair and there's shitty things that happen without a doubt. But, you know, as far as my personality and how I am, you know, nothing is going to stop me. Like, you're going to have to shoot me before I stop going for what I want to go for.
It's not
going to
happen. Yeah. Like, I can't make an excuse. My father, he raised me not to make excuses, to take accountability. Mm-hmm. Both my granddads, they both had money. And so if I'm making excuses in 2021 about why I can't do something, and they was in the 40s, 50s, the 30s, doing what they had to do to make things happen when it was really, really, really real.
Right.
It's like, what can I say? But speaking, I don't know why this just crossed my mind. Speaking on my, because I think this is an important note. Speaking on my granddad, so my granddad passed in like 2005, 2006. He got, somebody broke in his house, beat him up, robbed him, and he died in the hospital like the next day. Yeah. So, but like I said, he had money or whatever, but he didn't have a will, right? So when he died, like, and my mom, she wasn't biologically his daughter. So when they tried to do whatever they tried to do, nobody never seen a dime of that money since that was, like I said, it was like 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's just how important it is. Go get a will. Y'all watch this.
You paperwork. Went
in, you got some money, get that paperwork right. Because when you gone, it makes it so much harder to, like I said, my mom, they ain't seen a penny since they don't even know what happened to it.
Right.
So yeah, I just want to say that.
And even on that note, we got to take some responsibility too, because like, you're a mom, we'll have kids one day, but it's on us too to make sure all that stuff is in order. So don't put your kids in that position to where they are in probate court trying to figure out you know, X, Y, and Z. Have everything set up, have it all in writing, have it all in a safe place, and talk about these things. Like, I don't know why, like, in a black community, people are so afraid to have these conversations about
it's
death.
It's like taboo.
And, yeah, it really is. Like, you guys need to talk about these things and have a plan in place for if something was happening. Because at the end of the day, we all going to go.
We all going to go.
Yeah. I think, you know, my biological dad's side of the family, they're from Birmingham, Alabama. And so, as far as my experience, like, you don't talk about things like that because, you know, the thought is like, you're going to bring death upon yourself.
Talk about dying
and things like that. But, you know, like with my grandmother, we couldn't find her will. And I watched my dad and my uncles fight over money. And like, they still don't talk to each other this day. And that's nothing my grandmother would have wanted. Wow. And then there were issues with me getting part of the inheritance, you know, and like them acting crazy with me. And I was 15 when my grandmother passed, you know, she was my world. And so, you know, it makes things so much easier. Or like, even like, you know, with my boyfriend, we've talked about prenups and where we stand with that, and just, you know, not taking those conversations personally or as an attack, but, you know, there's real consequences to not having those things in order, or, you know, let's come to an agreement now while things are good. And if, because it's always a possibility, if we happen to get to the point where we don't want to be together, I don't want things to get ugly, right? It's in writing, it's in paper, we're good. You're not putting your investors or partners at any type of risk, you know? And so I think when people think about like prenups and agreements and stuff, they think you're setting yourself up for failure, but you don't think that way when you get health insurance.
Car insurance.
No, you know, it's, I would rather have that in place than not have it. And it's the same with prenups and wills. You're not wishing bad on yourself or anything. It's just, should something go wrong? Should life, everything's going to be in order.
No, that's hilarious. Good. No, but yeah, I don't know, you got anything else?
No, that's it for me. Yeah. I mean, I think the moral of the story here is work hard, take care of yourself, and defy the odds.
Yeah, I love that. But before we let you go, Ari, do you mind just plugging in all your stuff where people can find you, follow you? They want to become a client of yours, most importantly, all that good stuff. Just plug it.
Yeah, if you want to learn more about our coaching program, it's allergictohourly.com. On Twitter, I'm allergic to hourly. Two is the number two. If you're easily offended, you probably don't want to follow me on Twitter. And I don't talk about much of business things. You know, it's very much just me, stream of consciousness. Instagram, allergic to Twitter, T-O. And that's, you know, those are the two places I mostly hang out. But, yeah, come check us out.
Before we wrap up, I just want to say, you already know, once again, how much we appreciate you, Ari. We got a little gift for you. Unfortunately, we didn't bring it with us, but we got to give it to you later. But like I said, we greatly appreciate you taking the time to come out here, chop it up, come on the podcast with us. And wrapping up, for those who don't know, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Xavier C. Miller. And D, what's her info?
Yes, and you guys can follow me on Twitter at Deanna S. Kent. Instagram is Deanna Kent. And you can follow me on YouTube at Lessons in Life and Luxury. The
YouTube. Yeah. And don't forget to, I forgot to say this in the beginning, don't forget to like, subscribe, most importantly,
comment, share
yes. All that good stuff on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube, everything. And that's all we got for y'all. Appreciate y'all tuning in to another episode of Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. What's up?
Peace.
That's it. We good.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.